Welcome to episode 135 of the Selling Your Screenplay podcast. I'm Ashley Scott Myers, screenwriter and blogger over at sellingyourscreenplay.com. Today I'm interviewing writer-director Kurt Weiser, who wrote and directed the new film Cam Girl. He's a great example of someone who is building a career for himself who lives outside of Los Angeles. He lives in Orlando, Florida, and has basically spent his career doing some independent films from Orlando. So it's a great example of someone who's out hustling and has not actually moved to Los Angeles. So stay tuned for that. If you find this episode valuable, please help me out by giving me a review in iTunes or leaving a comment on YouTube or retweeting the podcast on Twitter or liking it on Facebook. These social media shares really do help spread word about the podcast, so they're very much appreciated. Any websites or links that I mention in the podcast can be found on my blog in the show notes. I also publish a transcript with every episode in case you'd rather read the show or look at something later on. You can find all the podcast show notes at www.sellingyourscreenplay.com/podcasts. If you want my free guide, How to Sell a Screenplay in 5 Weeks, you can pick that up by going to sellingyourscreenplay.com/guide. It's completely free. You just put in your email address and I'll send you a new lesson once per week for 5 weeks, along with a bunch of bonus lessons. I teach the whole process of how to sell your screenplay in that guide, how to write a professional logline inquiry letter, how to find agents, managers, and producers who are looking for material. Really is everything you need to know to sell your screenplay. Just go to sellingyourscreenplay.com/guide. So I'm now deep into production on my crime thriller feature film, The Pinch. We're shooting July 9th through July 29th, so I'm pre-recording a bunch of podcast episodes in late June, so I'll be able to keep publishing the podcast through July while I'm out shooting the film. I'm going to try and put out updates through the various social media channels, so please follow me on Twitter, and that's twitter.com/AshleyMyers, or like SYS on Facebook, that's facebook.com/sellingyourscreenplay, or subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/sellingyourscreenplay. And I just set up a new Instagram account, which is instagram.com/AshleyScottMyers. I have someone who will be shooting some behind the scenes footage, so I'll try and get that posted to YouTube and Facebook as we're shooting. And I will have my cell phone and just snap some pictures, and I'll try and publish those to Twitter and Instagram. So keep an eye out for all of that and wish me luck. So I will keep new episodes coming out through July, but I won't be able to give real-time updates. So check out my various social media channels for those real-time updates on the shooting of The Pinch. And once the movie is completed, I'll be back and I'll give a full wrap-up of the entire process of shooting the film. So that's what I'm working on. So now let's get into the main segment. Welcome, Kurt, to the Selling Your Screenplay podcast. I really appreciate you coming on the show with me today.
Thanks, Ashley. Glad to be here.
So to start out, I wonder if you can just give us a quick overview of your background, kind of how you got into the entertainment industry, and bring us all the way up maybe to the point where you wrote and directed this recent film, Cam Girl.
Sure. Well, it's kind of if there is a current theme, is, you know, there's running theme is nobody ever really has one set path. In my case, it was I started out in computer animation. So I got a bachelor's from University of Central Florida in computer animation, and that became very helpful because then when it came time to finally make Cam Girl, like, I did my own visual effects. So it all comes down to what kind of resources you have. So it really came down to that. That was just another thing I had in my arsenal there to use. And I've always been, you know, enthralled with movies and writing, so it just kind of all tied together. And in a way, visual effects, when I saw the movie Fight Club, it kind of opened my eyes that visual effects, it's filmmaking with no boundaries. So I saw it was able to be done at an early level in that movie, and I was like, wow, this is something I really want to get into and explore.
Yeah. So take us back. So now you're in college, you get this degree, and then what were your first steps outside of college? Did you start to work professionally? You work as an intern, as an animator, in special effects? Maybe just take us through some of those steps.
Okay, well, I mean, the main thing is I did a lot of writing, like a writer writes, you know, so I have to admit the webcam, well, it was originally called Webcam. Now it's Cam Girl. That's a whole nother topic maybe we could address, is a changing of titles, but that was the third script I wrote. And basically I did a few short films before that, one animated one, one live action, and the live action was actually somebody paid me to, you know, direct and produce their short film, which was pretty interesting. So that was a fun experience. But I mean, I definitely think that's a good piece of advice: is have some kind of proving ground, do a few things, including especially if those short films. In my case, that became a way that got me on IMDb. I highly, highly recommend that, because the very first thing you do is people will look you up on there to see if you have credits. I mean, it's become IMDb has become like the resume for anybody within the industry. And it's just like, for instance, if you had a plumbing emergency, would you hire a plumber that has never, you know, worked on a pipe before? You know, probably not, right? It's the same thing. People look at that as, you know, what credits does this person have? And like, one of the first things they do is they look you up on IMDb. And I do know it has changed a way. Now there's a collaboration between IMDb and Without a Box. So that's definitely one path. If they submit to a recognized festival within Without a Box, it'll put it on IMDb. So that's a huge way to get in there. Other than that, and this is the way I had to do it, because it was back in, prior to that, it was back in 2006, that animated short film that played festivals, is you need to have a link, something to prove, you know, that it was like an outside source, not your own personal website, something to prove that it was released in festivals and, or, you know, distributed.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk just a minute about that. You said you got hired to direct and produce somebody else's short. How did you get that job?
Okay. I mean, that just shows how it goes. It's all networking. And in fact, a lot of the people that end up helping me in Cam Girl, I met through work or through those people I knew through work, which is I work an entertainment technician at a theme park in Orlando, Florida. And in that case, it was somebody who works for the legal department. he's also a writer. He actually has produced credit and everything, his own, a feature. And it was shortly after that he also wanted to make, you know, short films and other stuff. So I was in contact with him about Cam Girl, maybe possibly helping out with legal, which he actually did. He ended up becoming an associate producer and advising as far as legal aspects. So it all came from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So let's talk about your career outside of Hollywood, living in Orlando, and maybe just take a minute. There is some, you know, parallels between, you know, the terrible tragedy that just happened in Orlando. So maybe we can just discuss that a little bit, and then we'll dig into Cam Girl.
Right. Thank you. Because there is some parallels, as you said, I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the tragedy that we had in Orlando, Florida, at the Pulse shooting, Pulse nightclub, especially because our production is based in Orlando, Florida. Our heart goes out to the 49 victims and the first responders, their bravery. And I actually personally knew one of the victims, so it kind of hit close to home.
So have you considered moving to Hollywood? I get a lot of emails from people saying, hey, I'm outside of Hollywood. Can I actually make a go at being a filmmaker or being a screenwriter? Have you found, you know, there's advantages and disadvantages to being in Hollywood, outside of Hollywood? What is kind of your experience, and why haven't you moved to Hollywood?
That is the question, isn't it? And it's an important one for people to ask themselves. In my case, it became... here it is. The main pro, as far as that goes, is because it's not as common here. You're not in New York or LA, where everybody and their brother is has a script in hand with a hand open. The you can actually get resources. You can get locations. You can get people involved. And like, I am just the process of casting and getting a crew together. It's just amazing how the talent that's here in Central Florida. And I'm sure that's the case in a lot of places, whether it be like Austin, Texas, I'm sure it would be another really good example of that. So, I mean, just try to reach out to your local film community, go on message boards, you know, do online postings, and I think you'd be surprised what you can achieve. So it's a matter of that. What can because it is interesting if you're outside of one of those main cities that do film production. People are more interested to get involved.
Yeah, for sure. So let's dig into Cam Girl. Maybe to start out, you can give us a quick logline for the film, and then we'll dig into some of the specifics.
Sure. Cam Girl is about a single mother, works as a webcam stripper, who is pushed to her limit when she's held hostage by an unknown gunman.
Okay, yeah, that's a nice succinct logline. So where did this story come from?
Okay, so it was shortly after graduating college. I was, you know, that age, I'm 27. It's one of those things, like, you're soul searching, you're trying to, what's going on? In fact, it was, I'll never forget it, it was a New Year's Eve party after I lost a few rounds of, finally lost at beer pong. I found a way to sit, you know, alone for a little bit, as writers tend to do. And when I was doing that, I thought, you know, what am I have to do something. I've written these two scripts, and yeah, the first one actually kind of placed in a few contests, which I also recommend. Every avenue you can do, go to try contests, try you know, your the resources you have on your site, try Inktip, try Blacklist. Anyway, so that gave me some motivation, but it just, you know, how can I get to that next level? I need a produced credit. So then I thought, okay, what is the most marketable idea I can come up with, you know, that can be made on a low budget? So then I started thinking of these kind of limited location, these contained films. And so then I started thinking, okay, it would help if I know if the protagonist worked, had a job that kind of took place out of the home. So I was like, okay, what kind of job's like that? Cam Girl. As soon as that came to me, I'm like, okay, this is original. At least it was very original at the time. And it's marketable. And then it all stemmed from there, like the reason why there's a basically the protagonist realizes that it might be a client of hers that's stalking her. And, you know, she's trying to figure out who this person is, you know, as she's, you know, being kind of emotionally terrorized and having to defend the home. So it all kind of stemmed from that kernel of an idea, single location, you know, limited location, and a job that can take place out of the home.
Yeah. So how did you know that this, like, when I watched the trailer for the film, that's one thing that occurred to me right off the bat. I mean, you have sex and violence, you know, it's a contained thriller. You know, anything to do with sexy girls has, you know, kind of a marketing hook. How did you kind of know this was marketable? Did you just feel like just intuitively that was what, or had you talked to some producers, some distributors?
Well, I definitely... I'm definitely a big advocate of the school of Roger Corman. I think he's a brilliant filmmaker. I think it's great that he finally got an honorary Oscar, long overdue. Anyway, and I do highly, highly recommend his book, How I Made 100 Movies in Hollywood and Never Lost a Dime. That's a phenomenal book. But anyway, yeah, it's very much like, it's one of those things, like, I saw the poster as soon as I had that idea. I saw that, yeah, this is marketable. This is original. You have those key ingredients there, you really should really try to flesh it out and pursue it. I mean, in a lot of ways, Roger Corman, that was, especially in the early days, that's what he did. He had a poster first or a title. It's like, oh yeah, let me hurry up and hire somebody to write the thing. So it's like, that was an afterthought. It was like, oh, we can sell it. Or in some cases, like, these companies would pre-sell something based on just that, you know, a log line and a poster, and oh yeah, let's write this thing now that somebody's interested, you know. It's like, and then when I actually did write it, I have to admit, as far as I know, you'd like to go into process on your podcast briefly, I spent about a year researching and outlining it. I honestly did not know the
researching
world.
It no, calling
that I did not know the world of Cam Girl, I their whole thing. I really swear to that. So I actually did, like, on YouTube, you can actually find, like, they do, like, promotional stuff for their own services. I did look at that, for instance. But no, what was really helpful is I read a book called Candy Girl, which is, some of your listeners might know, it's the autobiography by Diablo Cody, now famed screenwriter Diablo Cody. Writer of Juno, But before all that, she was a blogger, and she blogged about her experiences as a stripper. Okay. And imagine that. Some producer, you know, eventually found her blog and contacted her. And the funny story, she's like, at first she ignored, like, oh, this weirdo, I don't know what, you know, this is unsavory. But he's like, no, I'm legit. And, you know, maybe this is something. And it got expanded into a book. And the rest is history. And it's just an amazing book. And you can tell that she's a phenomenal writer from that early stage. And that helped me get into the mindset of what somebody in that kind of adult industry profession would go through. In fact, I gave that to that book to Aaron Klein, who we cast as the lead to research. And that might have helped her a bit get in that mindset.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just talk about your writing process a little bit. You said you did research for about a year on this. How long then did it take you to, like, come up with an outline, or did you even outline? And then how long did it take you to actually write the screenplay?
I definitely outlined. So, yeah, within that same year, I was constantly I guess it could be called the Lawrence Kasdan method, because I know he's a big proponent of it, the index card method, and I just like it because it's very freeing. There's no, there's nothing precious about it. You just, as soon as you have the idea, you jot it down, and you'll either eventually use it or you won't. And because you have the big bulletin board at the end of it, you can actually just put things together. You can find a home for it. So, like, it's everything. If it's a visual cue, if it's a line of dialogue, in my case, there's a lot of dialogue that I wrote ahead of time. And then, of course, you have, like, a brief description of each scene. But, yeah, you first have those scenes outlined, and then you figure out what else, what can these other cards, where it's going to be homed, what scene can they be placed in. And then you can really just kind of figure out how the stuff should be structured. And I think it's just really helpful. So now that's – and then once I did all that, and this was kind of really interesting for me, is it was never – I didn't have an experience like that before. I wrote the first draft in 14 days. Like, it just came out of me like an animal wanting to get out. So I think that really, like, in fact, I even called off of work one day so I could have, like, a 3-day weekend to just really continue working on it. I mean, that's how I know, okay, there could be something here. And ever since then, I've been trying to do it that way, because I think if you really write quickly, at least the first draft, of course, you really write quickly, not worrying about typos and such, it really is a stream of consciousness. It really, you kind of get a sense of the of that. It comes, the pacing comes out in how you read it, in a way.
But you had spent almost, it sounds like, a full year researching and outlining. So by the time you got to the writing process, you had really prepared yourself for these 14 days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just talk about what is your process like on some of your other projects that you've written? Is that pretty typical? Is it to spend a year on researching? Is that normal for some of the other scripts you've written?
Yeah, it seems to be working out that way. Like, on the latest that I'm really trying to see if it can be my next produced feature credit, which is called 30 Night Stand. It's a romantic comedy. I had that idea, and I'm like, okay, there's something here, and basically kind of just thought about it for a bit and outlined it, and the same thing. And now that's actually got two known actresses attached to it, so I'm really excited about that. It's got Serena Vincent, who people would know from Cabin Fever. She was also one of the Power Rangers. and Annika Marks, who was in The Sessions. It's probably her best well-known credit. So I'm excited about that and seeing where that can go.
Yeah. So let's back up to Cam Girl. Now you've got this script written after 14 days. What does your development process look like? Do you have some trusted friends that you send it to? Do you just put it away in a drawer for a couple of days? What does that development process look like as you go from the first draft to second and third draft?
Well, and this is where it gets interesting too. I did a lot of things. I started all at once. You have to form a production entity. You need an LLC. That's the common thing, is an LLC. Doesn't need to be, but for film production. And so I immediately did that. I immediately built a website that also became a main resource when I was trying to cast and build a crew, I immediately just went ahead like this is going to happen no matter what. I mean, thankfully I didn't have to go the whole Kevin Smith, you know, credit card route. But, you know, if I had to somehow try to find a way to self-finance it, I would have. But eventually, I'm sure, like, it was definitely written to be like this is going to happen. So I went ahead with that, and part of that was also I put out casting notices online, all the kind of main websites that, you know, you'd be aware of, you know, the Mandy and Craigslist and such. And in those casting calls, at the very top of it is the log line. It intentionally was written to also promote the story, to promote the script itself. And in doing that, here's where it gets interesting. I actually had a producer contact me and said that they wanted to read the script. His name was Jay.
And this is in the Orlando section of like Craigslist. You'll just post a casting notice and put the log line in there?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
And I do... I'm not sure if I think I might have actually put one posting in L.A. I don't recall. I might have. And I know I think for those you have to pay, you know, like $20 or whatever it is. But, yeah, that might have been possible. I know primarily, yeah, I put it in the Orlando area. But, yeah, so a producer by the name of James Aubrey, who actually has worked with Roger Corman, believe it or not, as a director. He directed a family film called Looking for Trouble. But anyway, he is the one that initially reached out to me, and he and his trusted friend ended up becoming the executive producers, and they're the ones that got it off the ground, got it financed. So that's the main trick, is like there's no one way to do it, but it's so much easier to try to find a way for producers to come to you. If you have somebody who comes to you interested, well, then for one, you really know that they're interested. Two, it's less like they feel like they're being sold to.
And that's literally, he just saw your ad. He was looking on the Orlando section of Craigslist, and he saw your ad?
He did say, I saw your listing on one of these sites. I don't remember what it is, this Mandy Dandy, whatever, this website.
Yeah.
But and I was like, oh, well, that's great. Yeah, I'll send the script right away. And I did. It was one of those, oh, yes, it's one of those, the email was glowing, I think, as I was reading it.
And was most of your crew the same thing? You just put up crew ads in your local Orlando area? Did you already know a bunch of local filmmakers, cinematographers and stuff to get on? Or were those people found also through Craigslist and Mandy?
Well, the director of photography actually was one of the executive producers, because he has a lot of experience in that. He has his own production company and shoots commercials and so forth. So that was a great way to save money, and the work did not falter at all. I'm pleased with how it all came out. Otherwise, I really did know a lot of the people. Like, for instance, the makeup artist I knew for years. She worked at a theme park in one of those kind of an entry-level version of her job. You know, she did, like, they have, like, little stands where they do, like, temporary tattoos or, like, you know, face painting and stuff, and she was working at one of those places. And now she has a fully-fledged career. She's, like, in the union and just is a phenomenal makeup artist. Some people referred to me through other people after I had them attached as a crew. The production designer I knew, he was a close friend since high school, Keith Norstein.
Okay, that's a great story. Let's back up just a little bit to some of your other scripts. And in fact, let's stay on Cam Girl for a minute, then we'll back up. When you wrote this script, did you do anything with it other than you determined to produce it? Did you send it to the Blacklist, Ink Tip, the contest? Did you start to kind of push it out there to see if a producer would just buy it from you?
Yeah, I did. At the time, it was just Ink Tip, and I actually had tons of reads. The head of Ink Tip eventually even contacted me around the same time I got financing, saying, look, you have a lot of script reads. Have you been following up with these people and so forth? You might want to. And in a way, I did a few times, but I was definitely of the mindset where if they really are interested, I think I would have heard from them if they really responded to the script, which is exactly what happened with our executive producers. But it was a huge boost of confidence. It was a validation early on that, like, okay, the script has some legs. I think there's something here. And I did at least one rewrite before the executive producers were attached, and one for sure afterwards, based on some of their thoughts. They had some very valuable notes, I think, to add more conflict, which is important.
So, So, as we started the interview, you mentioned that you had another script that you had entered in some contests. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit and what kind of success you had and how that impacted your career.
Sure, that was a little script called Tragic Kingdom, which is one of those things where it's the exact opposite. It is set in a theme park, and it was loosely based off of, I read a book called Disney War, and it was about the whole kind of boardroom skirmish that happened between Eisner and Katzenberg there. And it kind of, without using any real names and such, it had a lot of element to that. It had kind of like aspects. It had some of the employees. It had the drama with the boardroom executives. It just showed kind of the whole world of how maybe the happiest place on earth isn't exactly what it appears to be. And yeah, it placed with the creative screenwriting. It got on the considered list through that one. It also, on Blue Cat, was a semifinalist.
Okay. And did any of this actually, just getting some of these placements, did that bring anything in, or was it just a confidence booster?
For me, it was a confidence booster. Okay. So yeah, it was that. It just became something like, okay, I need to keep writing, I think.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you mentioned another script where you have some actresses attached to it. Maybe you can talk about that script and kind of how you got that out into the world and how you ultimately got these actresses attached.
We held auditions. And I think that was really important. I had actual scenes, like I knew, I gave them ahead of time, the sides, the scene that I think would be more difficult, more challenging,
I'm specifically talking about that you mentioned a script where the one of the girls from Cabin Fever is attached to one of your scripts.
Oh, that one, 30 Night Stand.
Yeah, 30 Night Stand, yeah. It's a hooky title. It's a really great high-concept title, so kudos on that.
Oh, yeah, very briefly, the log line for that one is, tensions rise and sparks fly when a woman is cunning enough to turn a one-night stand into a 30-day affair.
Nice.
So basically, that's an interesting story. Another example of these connections, you know, how it's one of those cases where work begets more work. The makeup artist who I mentioned on Cam Girl, Sarah Okun, she actually, because she's had an extensive career now since, she's actually worked with Annika Marx before, and I noticed that, you know, when I'm looking through credits. So I reached out to Sarah. She reached out to Annika, immediately got the script to her, and then she was attached, loved the script, gave feedback, did another rewrite. And Annika has worked closely and is a good friend off the screen with Serena Vincent. So that's how she became involved.
Okay. And have you gone back to like what are you doing now to get that? Now you've got some attachments with actresses. What are you doing to actually push that project forward? Have you gone back to the executive producers of Cam Girl?
I did. I always, whenever I have a new script or anything, I contact them, keep them updated. They seem to be very interested in lower budget content, which this at this stage, especially with that film, I would like it to. It's a matter of what's the next goal, and for me, the next goal is to have something produced under a higher budget, even if I'm not the director. Which is great that I, with Cam Girl, I definitely set out, okay, I'm going to become a writer director with this project, and I did. So now it's a matter. I really would like to just have something made on a higher budget, and maybe possibly get in the Writers Guild, etc. And so, how can I leap forward into that with this project?
Yeah. So, how can people see Cam Girl? Is do you know what the release schedule is going to be like? Have you started to get it out on the VOD platforms?
It is all over on the digital shelves, as it were, the DVD, and it's loaded with. In fact, our visual listeners, here's the DVD. Ooh, it's an unboxing. But yeah, it's all over on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, Best Buy, all that. The VOD is definitely in the works. I do know through the distributor, they said it's going to be on cable, video on demand, at some point, and then we'll see from there. I don't have an exact release date on the video in demand, but the DVD is available everywhere.
Yeah, nice, nice. So I always like to just end these interviews, ask the guests to share their Twitter handle, Facebook page, whatever you're comfortable with, just so people can kind of get to know you better and follow along with what you're working on in the future.
Absolutely. I really would – I've had over the past year or so, filmmakers have been actually kind enough to reply to my emails and stuff, and they're at a higher level than me, so I would – like to pay it forward and do the same. I can't read anybody's screenplays, unfortunately. They can use, like, you know, Blacklist or Inktip for something like that. But other than that, feel free to contact me. I can be reached through Twitter at camgirl_, so that little line, camgirl_movie. And at Facebook, we're camgirlmovie. Blogspot, it's going to be camgirlthemovie at Blogspot. And our website, which constantly updating, we have a shop now button. We have all that there. A lot will be there. Updates will be there as far as the other sites too. But the official website is webcamthefilm.com.
Perfect.
And my email address can be found there if they are willing to find it at the official website. Okay.
Perfect, perfect. So I will grab all that stuff and I'll put it in the show notes so people can click over to it. Well, Kurt, it's a fascinating story. I really wish you luck with this film. Thank you for coming on and talking with me today.
Thank you, Ashley. I've been listening for a while, so it's an absolute honor to now be a guest.
Yeah, thank you, thank you.
A quick plug for the SYS Screenwriting Analysis Service. It's a really economical way to get a high-quality professional evaluation on your screenplay. When you buy our 3-pack, you get evaluations. It's a $67 per script for feature films and just $55 for teleplays. All the readers have professional experience reading for studios, production companies, contests, and agencies. You can read a short bio on each reader on our website, and you can pick the reader who you think is the best fit for your script. Turnaround time is usually just a few days, but rarely more than a week. The readers will evaluate your script on 6 key factors: concept, characters, structure, marketability, tone, and overall craft, which includes formatting, spelling, and grammar. Every script will get a grade of pass, consider, or recommend, which should help you roughly understand where your script might rank if you were to submit it to a production company or agency. We provide analyses on features and television scripts. We also do proofreading without any analysis. We will also look at a treatment or outline and give you the same analysis on it. So if you're looking to vet some of your project ideas, this is a great way to do it. We will also write a logline and synopsis for you. You can add this service to an analysis, or you can simply purchase this service as a standalone product. As a bonus, if your script gets a recommend from a reader, you get a free email and fax blast from my list of industry contacts. This is the exact same blast service I use myself to promote my own scripts, and it's the same service I sell on the website. It's a great way to get your script into the hands of producers who are looking for material. So if you want a professional evaluation of your screenplay at a very reasonable price, check out www.sellingyourscreenplay.com/consultants. That's the show. Thank you for listening.